Welcome back to Silver Screen Social, listeners. I'm your host, Jackson Vickery, and on this episode, I spoke to Oscar-winning contemporary hyperrealist sculptor and prosthetic makeup designer Kazuhiro about his work on Maestro. Please enjoy the trailer of Maestro before the interview begins.
If summer doesn't sing in you, then nothing sings in you. And if nothing sings in you, then you can't make music. Something she told me.
Hello, I'm Lenny.
Hello, Felicia.
Oh, she's so beautiful. Oh. Tell me about her.
Oh, she's wonderful. She's a lovely girl.
What age are we living in? One can be as free as one likes without guilt or confession. Please, I know exactly who you are.
He can be the first great American conductor.
There's a price for being in my brother's orbit, you know that.
Hard for me to be alone. That music, it keeps me glued to life.
You don't even know how much you need me, do you?
I might.
If summer doesn't sing in you, then nothing sings in you. And if nothing sings in you, then you can't make music.
Congratulations on being BAFTA longlisted today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Major news. But I first off just have to say this is just such an honor to be chatting with you. This honestly is such a dream to be able to chat with an artisan like yourself. I am such a big admirer of your work, and Maestro is a feat that I am just completely blown away by, and continue to sort of unravel bits and pieces as I watch. And I watched it in preparation this morning again, just because I wanted to just make sure I had everything when chatting with you. Mm-hmm. And one thing that stood out to me at the end is Bradley Cooper's character, very simply just looking at the camera that's documenting him, and he asks any questions. And I'm curious if you have any unanswered questions for Leonard Bernstein or any of the Bernsteins that were in the family. I mean, I know there's probably hundreds, but is there one burning one that you wish that you were able to ask?
Oh, okay. You know, I wish, because the first time when I was inspired by him, it was when I saw a documentary on a Japanese TV show. You know, I was still in Japan, and I think I was 20 years old. And at that time, he was still alive. Mm. And that was I think within a year or a year before he passed away. So I wish I met him in person, because he was one of the greatest inspiration when I was around that age. And while he was talking to him, to the students, because he was doing a rehearsal for the music festival in Hokkaido in Japan. And so, while he was talking to the student was really inspiring. And basically he was talking about how hard to be the best musician. You know, it would take lots of commitment and dedication. And so I wish I could talk to him about that, you know, the process. I wasn't a musician or anything at all, but I was doing a special effects makeup. And I just started and I tried to get better, you know, be better artist. And so I went through lots of torment and, you know, like a struggle around that time. So, yeah, I wanted to talk to him about that.
Also, in my research preparing for this, you listed Amadeus as a major sort of inspiration in terms of film. And I'm wondering what, if anything, you were able to take from that film and sort of maybe apply to Maestro.
Oh, okay. The main reason was because my mentor, Dick Smith, who did the Sarielli makeup, old age makeup on F. Murray Abraham. And so, you know, it was like basically, it's invisible makeup. And, you know, and it's a tool or to tell a story, you know, because he had to age at the beginning of the film, talk about what happened between him and Mozart. And so that was a, you know, I think I still consider that was the best old age makeup I've ever done in film history. So I learned a lot by studying that movie. And of course, I love the movie because it's, I think, one of the perfect movie I ever seen, you know, like just storytelling and characters and so beautiful too. And so, like a major takeaway from that movie was that while I learned, and also I was talking to Dick about, you know, I was asking lots of questions how he did it.
What were you able to glean from him from that?
You know, it's interesting thing is that after we finished the work, it will be a whole, just a memory of the process, how, you know, it was done. So I didn't get so much about it, but by looking at, he showed me the piece and he gave me actual those appliance applied on F. Murray. And I was looking at it and it was just lots of learning. And after all, whatever we do, only perfect thing is in nature. So we have to develop our own voice to recreate the nature and apply to what we do. So that's what I learned.
And I'd love to dive into one scene in particular that was just one of the biggest standouts and in terms of, I think, film in general, and I think will be studied for I mean generations to come. And that's the symphony number 2, Resurrection. And I would just love to just pick your brain on what the preparation for that was, and then getting into the actual days of shooting that, because every single frame in this film is so meticulously shot and done so masterfully, but that particular sequence is just something it's almost out of body in a sense to rewatch So I'm just curious what the prep and day of sort of looked like for that in particular.
Right. So that was actually maybe last 2 days of the filming we're supposed to be doing in the schedule. And we had two days of a reshoot, actually three days or 2 days. And so we went to London and started to prep the makeup trailer. And we went to Ely, that's where the cathedral was. And the cathedral itself is, I think, about like thousands years old, and it is massive, beautiful building. And I watched the actual film shot in there with Lenny. You can look for, you know, on YouTube. I was watching repeatedly because I love that music and how he was conducting. And I also watching as a reference to design the makeup. And so it was kind of exciting to go back to actual location he was in. And especially like a cathedral, it's kind of more like it has a soul, you know, like, and especially very old building. And we started to film like a first day. And actually, it wasn't going well because Bradley wasn't happy about what he was doing because it was keep messing up. And but the first rehearsal when London Symphony Orchestra played the music, I was like I was shook to the core, you know, because it's such amazing. It's, you know, it's a big orchestra with a chorus, full chorus, and I was sitting in a church chair and listening, and it was almost like a tearing moment, you know, like we were so moved by it. And so he started to shoot the scene, and he used some scene he shot the first day, and it wasn't going well. And the second day we went in, and he totally changed the plan. And so after I finished the makeup, he took about like maybe almost like 3 hours to set up the whole filming. And so what happened was previous day, it wasn't working. So he brought a large crane inside of the cathedral and tried to shoot whole scene as a one shot. And finally, and by the shoulder of Felicia standing by the orchestra. And so, and I think it was just a one or two shot, and preparation wise, it's, you know, a scary part is because we are filming in a film, not the digital. Yeah. So digital shooting, you can see in the monitor very well. But filming, we only had like a really like a noisy video feed on iPad. So I wasn't sure what's going on, but the whole scene is like across the 7 minutes. And so it's hard to see what's going on. And he had those tail suits with a high collar. And that's kind of an enemy to the makeup because he had the cheek piece and neck piece, and it could scrub off something off his from skin. And that actually happened the first day. So second day, I tried to really glue down very strongly, and so it would withstand the whole scene. And so it's like after it's done, you know, like it's cut, I didn't know what exactly it looked like until the next day receiving daily online. And I was keep looking at it because it's such a beautiful scene. And it was really like a memorable because especially like a last day of the filming and it kind of relaxed, you know, okay, it's done, everything's done. And at the end of the scene, at the end of the filming, Bradley called me to the podium. And he introduced me to the whole orchestra. This is the real maestro, he said. And, yeah. And so that, you know, that's how much he cared about the whole crew. You know, he had so much respect to everybody. And the other great thing was that there's some member of the orchestra who actually played for Lenny, you know, in the past. And mm-hmm. they came up to me. Oh, this! I felt like Lily playing for Lenny. Yeah, so that was a great moment. Yeah,
That's absolutely beautiful. And I mean, just from looking at all the work you've done and that you've done, and all of the work that Bradley's done in preparation for this for this movie, and I mean just in your careers in general, I mean, you two just seem like the biggest sort of match made in heaven, because you guys are I can just see such workaholics and such so passionate about what you guys do. And so I'm just wondering what that collaboration was like with him in particular.
Yeah, it's you know, Bradley is, you know, it's such an amazing person. It's like really open and honest about everything. So it was really easy to communicate. And even like after 3 months in pre-production, I told him, I feel like I've known him for 10 years. And, you know, we were both perfectionist. And, you know, like we were both like a, you know, he was really honest about the makeup. If not, something is not working, this doesn't look like, you know, can you do anything about it? And I just fix it. And that relationship went into the whole filming. And we wanted to make, you know, perfect Lenny. So every day we're looking at each other in the mirror and analyzing what it looked like. And if he has some kind of question or doubt, you know, I try to fix it. And then, you know, many times we said to each other, like, we hate the continuity, because there's no point to stick to the one we already have if there's something we can improve. So we changed a lot during the filming, you know, how we did it and the design and everything. Of course, it's not like a drastic change, but something to improve. And also, it will be comfortable for him to have a better version of Lenny on him, and because he's the soul driving that look. So that was important. And it was just he's kind of a, well, like a, one of the biggest gift I ever got in my whole entire career, I would say. Yeah.
And is there something that you take away from working on this project and just working on Lenny's story in particular, and maybe, I mean, Bradley's story as well, that you'll carry with you? I mean, obviously this has had such a large impact on you.
Yeah, this story, I think it's, to me, it was about the balance of you know, professional life and personal life, and if you have something very passionate about in your life, there's some kind of a sacrifice happening in a personal life. And so how to keep the balance on each side, you know, like, and how to live, you know. So it, you know, I'm still going, but that's what I learned. And like, you know, it's importance of a relationship, and that, you know, apply to our relationship with Bradley too, because my relationship to Bradley, because I learned a lot. And I think he said in one interview he became an adult by making this movie, and I felt the same way, because he gave us the foundation to push ourselves and even like make us comfortable to fail to succeed, you know, and raise the bar. And that was a great relationship, because he was very comfortable and to be vulnerable in front of us. And we had to be so too, to make something better every day. So that was that's what I learned from him.
And I mean, just in our final few minutes, I'm curious, I mean, having this out in the cultural landscape, as a discussion piece, as we look back on, I mean, something with all of your films, I mean, we're tackling larger than life icons that it's hard to sort of internalize them until you really get to know their being, their soul. And I'm curious what you hope that audiences take away from the story of Lenny and Felicia in particular.
That's really the big question, isn't it? I think it's like a main theme about this film is love and respect and kindness to each other, and that's the most important thing in your life, because unless you're living alone, that's impossible. You have to have someone in your life, and it's the same thing I said, it's a balance too, but I think it's important to care for each other, and also realize what's important in your life too, and how to manage that, and how to make a difference every day. That's the thing. It's because, like you said, like those people I portrayed had done something special to the world, and Lenny is one of them. And so to do that, it's not easy, and it takes a lot to do that in our life. So that's something I hope audience will take away and apply to their life. And if there's something passionate about in their life, this is kind of good example to learn to keep going.
Yeah, I love that, finding the balance between passion and personal. I think that is something I will take away further. And Kazuo, I know we're right at time, but I once again just have to thank you so much. This has been such a treat and such an honor, and I'm rooting for you, and I cannot wait to see what you do next, because all of your work is, just some of the best out there. And yes, so I really am just so thankful for you chatting with me today.
All right. Thank you very much, Jackson. It's great talking to you.